Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word, which is a guide for how I may lead pleasing lives to thee in this challenging world. We pray that we'll bless thy word to our hearts now, that it may aid us in our sanctification and redound to thy glory. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Paul's been teaching in this section of Romans, chapter 12, about our relationship with others. He began with our relationship with God, most important relationship you'll ever have. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your gods, therefore, meaning in light of all he has done in justifying you by faith and sanctifying you by grace. Then he went on to speak of our relationship with one another. Be tenderhearted one to another, kindly affectioned, preferring one another. After that, to outsiders and even to our enemies. Bless your enemies. Bless and curse not. Now today he comes to our relationship with those over us in authority, particularly in civil authority, although the principle of the fifth commandment applies to all human authority. All the authority that God has put, I should say, in human institutions. God is a God of government, and he has ordained three forms of government in the world. The first is family government, parents over children, fathers over husbands, masters over slaves. Then there's church government. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And now civil government, the state government, the magistrate. That's the focus of our portion today. You'll see at the bottom of your bulletin, Westminster Shorter Catechism, it says, this is the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment requireth that preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations, as superiors, inferiors, or equals. We saw last time that it's very much opposed to our old natures to be in submission or to do good to those who mistreat us. Those who mistreat us, you're supposed not only not to curse them or seek revenge, positively should do them good. Your old nature does want to do the very opposite of that. It's also true that our old nature is very much opposed to submission of any kind. We all want to be our own little gods. Years ago, I was pastoring a little church in Waterloo, Iowa. And one of the elders and I were talking about the fifth commandment. He was being a little more honest than most people. He said, I can well imagine people being my inferiors. He says, I can even imagine some being my equals. He says, the hard time I have is those being my superiors. Well, people do resist authority because that's our fallen nature. That's how it fell in the first place, submitting to the devil and not to God. People resist church authority. When I was ministering on the campus of Berkeley, California, there was a self-appointed evangelist from New York City who despised church authority. And I said, well, if church authority is in the New Testament, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. His answer to that was, well, that's talking about the civil magistrates, not church officers. Roman officers watch for your souls? That's kind of a stretch. I don't think he knows much ancient history. There's a resistance also to civil authority, of course. There are liberal commentators who say on this section of Romans 13 that he's actually talking about submitting to angels. The higher authorities are angels. Well, in the first place, the New Testament never tells us to submit to angels. And even more tellingly, it says here you're supposed to pay taxes to these higher authorities. Now, I've paid taxes most of my life. I never paid taxes to the angels. So obviously, these are the civil magistracy. The summary of the apostles' teaching in this section is in my sermon title, Obey the Government. We're told this is not an option. This is a commandment of God. An important teaching for us today, and it has been in every generation. It was very important in Paul's day. You know the Jews hated the Roman authorities that were over them. The book of Deuteronomy, God commanded them, when you set a king over you, be sure he's not a foreigner, he's a Jew. Now here their king is a Gentile. It's Caesar. And so this made many of them believe it was sinful to submit to Caesar since he was a Gentile. And that's why they asked Jesus, is it even lawful to give him tribute? And Jesus answered, but a principle that applies to many things. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. God has a legitimate claim on you, but so does a civil magistracy. The Jews were constantly fomenting revolution against the Roman government. St. Paul taught that revolution against the government is rebellion against God. As a great missionary to the Gentiles, he knew that if there was not law and order through the empire, he wouldn't be able to do his ministry. And so he and St. Peter both urge all Christians to be in submission to the authorities and to obey them and to respect them, even if they are heathen, idol-worshipping Gentiles. Christians should be known as good citizens who obey their government. Now, I'll grant you, there may be much you don't like about the government. There certainly is for me. But, you know, there was an awful lot to dislike about the Imperial Roman government that Paul told them to respect. A whole lot more than we have. Now, if you want to see what a culture is like without government, just remember the recent events in Seattle and Portland, when the government withdrew its obligation to punish the wicked and they let them run free. The cities were on fire. They were run by murderers and arsonists because the government is there for your good, to keep order. It's there because we need it. Now let's begin with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Every soul obviously means every person, but it is a Hebrew way of emphasis. It means every single one in the commonwealth or the nation or the empire be subject unto the higher powers. And a higher power is any authority over you. The word power here means authority. It's just like when Jesus says, I have all power in heaven and earth, he means all authority as king. All authority that is over you in any situation is a higher authority that you must be in submission to. If you're pulled over by a rookie 18-year-old cop, it may be a little hard to respect him since he doesn't really know what he's doing. But in that situation, he's a higher authority. And if you're wise, you will submit to him. So from the emperor down to the lowest official, anyone over you is a higher authority. And it says, be subject unto them. Place yourself under their authority. For there is no power, no authority, but of God. The authority the magistrates have comes from God. American political theory says the authority magistrates have come from the governed. That's the exact opposite of what Scripture says. All authority in human institutions comes from God. The parent's authority, the church officer's authority, the civil magistrate's authority comes from God. And that's why it's a sin to disobey it. That's an important political statement. All authority comes from God. It's not at all what we're taught in school. The powers that be are ordained of God. That means the de facto powers. Whatever the power, whatever the authority in authority is, was ordained by God to be there. You've heard of providence. Nothing happens outside of His providence. The powers that be, whoever they are. It didn't matter to Paul whether Caesar took the throne by the will of the people, or by the will of the Senate, or by the will of the army, or by assassinating the emperor before him. As long as he was on the throne, he was regarded as the power that be. And that applies to all the different forms of government, whether it's aristocracy or a dictatorship, or absolute monarchy, a constitutional monarchy, a republic. The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be. Well, you know, I think all of us have experienced numerous times when the powers that be were not people that we wanted in power. When Mr. Trump was elected, there were numerous prominent people who took the motto, "Not my president." Well, that's not only stupid, because whether you like it or not, he is. He's the power that be. It's also a sinful statement, which we'll see in the next verse. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's why it's sinful not to be in submission to civil authority. It's a sin against God. It's defying His ordinance. It's standing against His providence. Those who resist the authority shall receive of themselves damnation. You're probably aware that many times in the New Testament, damnation does not mean final judgment. It just means judgment. It means punishment. It's like in 1 Corinthians 11 in Holy Communion, receive judgment to damnation to yourselves. It just means punishment or judgment. Those who resist the authority will receive of themselves punishment. How they are punished may vary. It may be by the magistrates, or it may be by some God's special work of providence. But one way or the other, resisting the authority is resisting God and reason for being punished. Now we know from the rest of Scripture that this commandment to be in submission and to obey the authorities is not absolute. St. Paul was well aware that Daniel and his friends respected the government. They were part of the Babylonian government. They were high officials in the government. They weren't against it. They weren't revolutionary. But when the government told them they had to worship an idol, they disobeyed the government. And they did not receive of themselves punishment. They were blessed for it. Or we know the Familiar words of St. Peter when the Jewish authorities told him he could no longer preach in the name of Jesus. We should obey God rather than men. There's no authority that God has given, family, church, or state, that has the right to tell you you must do something sinful. They have the right to tell you to do things you may not like, and they frequently do it. They have no right to tell you to sin against God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou? It's always a good thing when evil people are afraid of the government. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Magistrates indeed punish, but under normal circumstances, those who are punished bring it upon themselves and deserve it. A lot of people are persecuted, but it's for political reasons, and we may agree with their political stance and don't like the fact that they're persecuted, but it's not the same as standing for God. Paul says a good citizen shouldn't be afraid of the government. You know, criminals are afraid of the police. They hate the police because they're afraid of them. And they're afraid of them because they're guilty. I have often watched a television program called I Almost Got Away With It. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's about criminals, some of them who have done horrible crimes, murder. They're either escape the police before they're arrested, or they're arrested, put in prison, and break out of prison. And some of them are free for a long, long time. They go to Mexico, they start life all over, and yet the whole time they're free, but they're in terror. Every time they see a strange face, they think it must be a U.S. Marshal, and this is it. Every time a strange car goes by, they're afraid. For he's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Generally speaking, the civil power is for your good. Mind your own business, be a good citizen. You probably don't have anything to worry about in most societies. You know, I'm thankful for the authorities in my town. I can walk the streets of Stratford during the day or late at night and feel perfectly safe. I wouldn't be without the authorities. Our national authorities amass enough military power that evil powers are afraid to attack us. We can live at peace through strength. It wouldn't be that way without government. And again, as unattractive as a civil government may be, it's an important part of God's common grace for your good. Just think again of Portland or Seattle or so many other places in the last few years. They were run by mobs and not by God's government. Now Paul says, if you do evil, be afraid. Because God has given the magistrates the power to punish you, even with death. That's what the sword is. The magistrates decapitated criminals in Paul's day. God gave them that right. He gave them the sword. Magistrate beareth not the sword in vain. God says way back in Genesis 9, when with Noah he made a covenant with the human race, the covenant of nature. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. In other words, God did not give the government the right to capital punishment. He gave the government the obligation to capital punishment. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God requires capital punishment. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm always amazed at the Pope, the popes. God says, I require capital punishment of murderers. In a land that doesn't practice it, I consider polluted in my sight. The Pope says, no, that's all wrong. No, capital punishment is wrong. It's evil. He's calling what God says evil. The leaders, so-called, of the Holy Church of the entire world. It says a great deal about what kind of institution the papacy is. The magistrate is God's servant, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, in the previous section, we're told that we as private citizens are not allowed to take vengeance on those who are evil to us. Avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But one way God does repay and seek vengeance is through the civil magistrates. He says, I've appointed the magistrates as a revenger to execute wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath on those that do evil. So when the police shoot an evildoer or the state puts him to death, he's using God's power to execute wrath upon that person. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So Paul saying, don't let your fear of God's wrath be the only reason for you to be in obedience to the government. It's also for conscience' sake. It's part of your relationship with God. Your conscience gives you a sense of obligation to God. Now, the conscience of unsaved people is often misinformed and twisted, but if you're a Christian and your conscience is informed by the scriptures, your conscience is pure and it will tell you if you're offending God. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Well, the old nature may not like submission, doesn't like this either. Pay your taxes. What? For this cause, pay your taxes. For what cause? For conscience sake. That's the antecedent to this. For conscience sake, be in obedience to the Lord's ministers, and for conscience sake, pay your taxes. The government that protects you cannot function without taxation. It needs the support of the citizenry to operate. So paying taxes here is a religious obligation that God gives you, God tells you to do. Now, I'll grant you there are many things about the tax code that, like everything else in the civil magistrates' government, is very imperfect. Personally, I think our tax code is a disgrace. IRS tax code is so complicated, nobody on earth understands it. It goes to thousands of pages. IRS agents don't understand it. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, there was a candidate who stood for the presidency, and he proposed a flat tax. This would be something like, everybody pays 5%. You make $10 million a year, you pay 5% of $10 million. You make $25,000 a year, you pay 5% of $25,000. You don't need an accountant to figure this out. 5% of whatever it is you make. And you file your taxes on a postcard. You don't need an accountant. I thought that was a very good idea, far more equitable. Our present tax code, if you make a lot of money, they'll tax you higher. If you don't make much, they won't tax you at all. So they reward failure and they punish accomplishment. But in any case, like it or not, it's a religious duty to pay your taxes, even though the system may be very unattractive in many ways. We render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Render to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom on imported goods. You come in from a vacation abroad, you pay custom. And then honor, fear and honor to the higher authorities, remembering whose authority they bear. You're honoring the authority rather than the person. Obey the government. This is our Christian duty. Amen. We thank thee, Lord, that thy holy word gives us a way to live that's pleasing to thee and right in thy sight, even though it may very much be at times against our instincts, our emotions of the old man. We pray thou give us grace always to submit ourselves to thy truth for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.